Blog Talk Radio.
People make the world go round.
Walk.
Hi, Stephanie.
This is Stephanie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is a Gist of Freedom blog show.
Oh, hi, yes.
Okay, I'm so happy that we're able to contact you. I know you're calling from Canada.
Yes.
Okay, could you introduce yourself to the family?
Are you ready for me to speak now?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hello, hi. My name is Stephanie Walks, and I live in Windsor, Ontario. I'm originally from Toronto, Ontario. I moved to Windsor about 15 years ago to pursue a degree in education, and I've been living in the Windsor, Ontario area ever since.
Okay, good. Now, when I spoke to you earlier this week, you mentioned that you're working with the United Nations. Can you explain to the audience how you're working with them?
Yes, well, actually, a couple of months ago, I was introduced to the United Nations Young People's Association, like the Young Adult Chapter of the United Nations. And so I've been attending their meetings on a monthly basis, and the role I play is the personal development mentorship category. So what I do is I help, and I'm going to be planning events where we can help people develop personally by developing workshops and providing mentorship opportunities out in the community.
Can you give us some examples of what type of workshops you have participated in or organized?
Yes. For the record, I am an elementary school teacher, and I'm also a personal life coach and development coach. So what I did was a couple of weeks ago, I was blessed with the opportunity to host it was a baby shower, and it was for teenage mothers in the city of Detroit. And what we did, an organization, we went out to a hotel and we organized a wonderful day for these women, and it was called Great Expectations, for these women to celebrate the life that they're carrying. Even though that it may not have been planned, the pregnancies, what we did was we caused the celebration for these women to be celebrated for the lives that they were carrying. So one of the things that I did as a life coach, I call it a dream board. We created something called dream and vision boards. And what that did was, we did was all the ladies sat at their tables, and I brought a wide collection of magazines. And the ladies were able to go through the magazines and to rip out words and images that inspired them, that spoke to their heart in some way. And it was amazing, because after ripping out different images, they glued them onto pieces of paper, and they created vision boards. They created a collage of the dreams and the inspirations that they have in their life. So it was a great activity, because the women just started to come out of their shells, and they started to talk about things that they had. It brought hope alive. They started to talk about dreams that they had on the inside and things that they kind of forgot about that they wanted to do in their lives and things that they want to see happen in their lives. And that was the beauty of that workshop that I put on, that they were able to put their visions to life by putting it on the boards.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was asking.
Oh, that's okay.
What type of things in your life influenced you to work with these types of children and young teenage mothers? You know, what happened in your life that influenced you?
Yes, I would say that I've always had a desire to motivate and encourage and inspire individuals from the time I was young. And I just always had this passion in my dream to give back and to teach and to encourage and to motivate and inspire others. So basically what happened, as I started to teach, I would be teaching, you know, it would be parent-teacher conferences, and I would have, a young mother in my chair, and we would be discussing her, you know, her child and talking about the progress of her child, or your child is doing really well in math and science. And a lot of times these women in particular would start opening up to me. They would just start talking to me about their life and, like, this is going on in my personal life. And I just, you know, was always very interested and very compassionate, and I always wanted to give them a word of encouragement and wanted to give them some tools that can push them to the next level or to get them out of the situation that they were in. I always just had this desire to help people. And so that's where I kind of noticed the gift, I believe, that God gave me to motivate and inspire people to live the life of their dreams. And so it was birthed during parent-teacher conferences. And then over a couple years, and I would kind of notice that that was always happening, it was amazing, because then that was when I basically found out about life coaching, and I was like, you know what, I need to pursue that. So I went ahead and I got my certification in life coaching, and the rest has been history.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So you said that your career started when you started participating in these conferences with parents.
Yeah, it would just be regular, at elementary schools, that, you know, just regular parent-teacher conferences. And I would just find that the women, and usually it was women, but they would just start to open up, and they would just start to tell me about their lives, or they would say, my job isn't going so well, or I have this desire, I've always wanted to pursue art. And we would just start talking, and I would start to give them tools and strategies and steps that they could take to move forward or to move closer to that thing that was in their heart. So I just always had a desire to teach and motivate and encourage people. So I really just discovered that as a teacher.
Okay. So prior to becoming a teacher, were there any hints of the direction your career may take you as a young person?
I would definitely say so. Yes, I always had a desire, again, with children too. I always had a desire with children. And so from the time, I just feel that that was another one of my callings and gifts that I had was with young children. So from the time I was 11 years old, I was in a very small little church, and I remember this couple said to me, how old are you? And I said, I'm 11. And they said, as soon as you turn 12, we want you to start babysitting for our kids. And they were the first couple that I started to babysit for, and it was like pretty much like my whole, I didn't really have a lot of time to get into trouble, because as a preteen going into my teenagehood, because it seemed like I was always, you know, babysitting on the weekends. And then, you know, as I got older, during the summers, I would work at day camps and programs. So my life kind of started to take that form from the time I was young, just having a desire to help and to motivate and to encourage and nurture. And it started with young children, and now it's I'm seeing it evolve.
Now, have you had the opportunity to work with any of the little children that you used to babysit? Are they working?
I mean, many of them I speak to all the time. They call, and now, you know, with the social media, they're able to get in contact with me. So they'll, like, send me a message. It's like, Miss Walks, you taught me when I was in fifth grade 10 years ago, and they're, like, getting in contact with me. And there's been several. I had one student in particular, and she kept in contact with me over the years, and she ended up being a teen mom, but I was there able to encourage and to motivate her and to help her through that time, and she still calls me and different things like that. She had a baby at 15, and I was actually there when she gave birth, and I was there in the hospital room, and, you know, I was able to just continue to motivate her and say, you know, I knew you when you were 11 years old when I taught you, and I don't want you to give up on your dreams. You know, you said that you wanted to be a nurse, so I don't want, because you had this baby at a young age, to prevent you from going forth and living the dream that you have on the inside of you.
Wonderful. Now, you mentioned briefly that they contact you through social media.
Yeah.
This is a great, and to you, informing our audience of how to contact you again.
Okay. Would you like me to give that information out?
Yes, right now.
Okay, great. Well, if you would like to get in contact with me, once again, my name is Stephanie Walks, and I can be contacted at area code 226-345-7131. My email is swalkes@yahoo.com. Once again, that is swalkes@yahoo.com. And I look forward to, if anyone's interested in just touching base or you would like me to give you some words of encouragement or motivation, or in this time in your life you may feel stuck and you don't know, you're kind of stuck between like where you were and where you want to go and you want to know how to get to that next point, I'm available for that. I'm available for tele-coaching over the phone, or I would love to come and do a workshop or a presentation for you and your colleagues, and I'm available because I just have a heart to serve.
Wonderful. Now, you mentioned that you work in Detroit, which is
yes.
From Canada.
Yes.
Can you explain the two different, the difference in the culture as far as Detroit in Canada?
Oh, very much so. Well, I'm going to talk particularly about, Windsor, because Toronto is a little bit different than Windsor, even though they're both in Ontario. But Windsor, Ontario is definitely more of, it's a very slow-paced type of city. It's laid back, it's relaxed. You definitely have a lot of culturally infused. Toronto, once upon a time, was the hub where immigrants were coming from the Caribbean, from Europe, from Asia, Africa, from all over. But now, because Toronto is so heavily populated, a lot of people have been coming into Windsor. So Windsor is becoming, I believe it's now the third in Ontario, most diverse city, meaning that it lends to the wonderful opportunity to meet and to be in contact with the nations. Literally, because you're always meeting people from different countries. And the great thing about Windsor is, see, a lot of them, this is their first time being in Canada, being out of their country. So you know what you start to realize? You see such an appreciation and such, they're so excited to be living in Canada. So it really makes you be proud and to thank God that you are, that we have a lot of the things that we do being, you know, in living in North America, because these people come to this country and they think it's just amazing. They think it's the world, and they're so thankful for a lot of the things that we take for granted. So I definitely notice living in Windsor, Ontario, people have a greater appreciation for things, for life, for their homes, for just the regular, just the everyday things that sometimes we take for granted. So I definitely see diversity. Detroit, Michigan, I have found it's not as diverse, and it's probably just more, I find there's more segregation. Canada tends to be more like people are just kind of free and everybody kind of mix and mingles, but I have found that it's tended to be a little bit not as much, you know what I mean? You don't see as many cultures. They do have them, but it's not as rich culturally, I would say, as Windsor, Ontario. But it's a great city. I mean, one of the things I love about Detroit, I love the richness in the African-American culture. I mean, I really enjoy music, so I know that in the summertime you have great performances. I love the authors and the plays and everything, the diversity that we get of entertainers, of poets, of speakers, conferences that come to Detroit. I definitely love that, and we don't have that in Canada. So it's kind of like living in Windsor, you get the best of both worlds because I have the diversity and then I can get the richness of the African-American culture, which I love also. So to me, it's like the best of both worlds.
Wonderful answer. I had another question.
Sure.
I assume that you were raised in Windsor, so you went to school.
No, I was raised in Toronto, actually.
Toronto. So how is the school system different?
In Ontario and Detroit? Once again, Windsor and Toronto, I'm going to say the same thing. Very diverse. So as a teacher, I mean, I knew about all cultures. I knew about Eid, I knew about Ramadan, I knew about all the different celebrations because, you know, even the, you know, the Chinese New Year and the different festivals and the different celebrations that the kids would be going through because the classroom was so diverse. And the beautiful thing is the children, when you grow up with, you know, having friends that are Asian and Indian, and you know, there is no tolerance because everybody, you're just used to it. You're used to a melting pot. You accept each other because you know, growing up you had friends that were of different races. You know what I mean? So it was the colors of the rainbow, and it was wonderful. So that was, you know, the education. And I find that, again, when you have from a perspective.
Can I interrupt you for one quick second?
Sure.
Now, do you try to reenact what you experienced in your classroom as a teacher?
Yes, definitely. Now, because I teach in the city of Detroit, I definitely do. Like, being from my background is my parents are originally from the island of Barbados. So I definitely explain to my kids that being from Canada, that black Canadians, particularly in Toronto, tend not to just be black Canadians. You know, they have a heritage, they have a culture outside of Canada. Like, their parents came to Canada. So my kids, my students, I talk to them about, you know, an island and about, you know, where Barbados is located and about what an island looks like and that. And it's great because it flows right into social studies and geography, and I'm able to, you know, explain to them, you know, that an island is surrounded by water, so it's very different, you know, and there's beaches there, and it's great. And I talk to them about the food and, you know, culturally. So they love it because they know Miss Walks looks like them, but Miss Walks is different, you know, at the same time. So it's great because it's an excellent teaching tool, the diversity.
How did all this diversity lend itself to you becoming a great life coach? And are you planning on writing a book if you haven't already?
It's just been my life experience, and I love to share it. And I find that people love, whether I'm in Detroit, they love it. They're like, because, you know, the way I speak, that's usually the first thing. I'll be speaking, like I'll be in the grocery store and I'll say something. People are like, where are you from? You know, so it always opens up, you know, conversation, and then I'm able to speak. And they're like, I like the way you talk, or you talk very proper and different things. So I'm able to, a lot of times it breaks open ice, and people want to know who I am and what I do and different things like that. So that definitely, I think just being unique in that situation, in that experience, lends me for the life coaching and to speak and to motivate and encourage, because it's just my situation is just very different. You know, being from the, you know, Caribbean background, growing up in Toronto, you know, going to university and living in Windsor for 15 years and working in Detroit is just a variety of rich experiences that I've had in my life that I love to share. Do I want to write a book? Absolutely. And my book could be on a different topic, but it would definitely, it would just kind of be of my life over the last, I would say, 10 years, and how I've seen my life change and transform within the last 10 years. You know, seeing, basically living out what I talk about, you know, living the life of your dreams and making those transitions and seeing how God can expand. Like, I mean, I've always had the gift to teach, but seeing how it's starting to expand. And now not only am I teaching children, but I'm teaching adults as well. And now it's landed into, you know, this opportunity, speaking on the radio, encouraging and motivating people, speaking on, you know, contacting, you know, social media, motivating and encouraging people, you know. So it's just, you start to see how the gift of teaching, how it can just expand and it can grow. And that comes from, you know, being coached and digging deeper and seeing what else is in there that you want to give out, give forth.
Now, the word coach, I know what you mean when you say coach. But were you ever a coach as far as athletics?
No, I wasn't. But I did play soccer. So I never really, my dad was my coach, but I never really coached others. But I always had leadership roles in terms of school. Like, I always was, like, you know, the class leader, or I was a prefect. There was different things where I had, like, a leadership role. I was a kindergarten helper. You know, when I was in sixth grade, I was a kindergarten helper. So it's always, like, I always had these roles of leadership and mentoring and inspiring others. And
as an educator speaking to a parent, do you recommend that your child get involved with athletics and different sort of extracurricular activities?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can definitely vouch for that. And that was one thing I can definitely say my parents did. You know, because my parents came from the islands and came to Canada basically with nothing, with one suitcase, and had to start their life here, my parents, that was one thing my parents wanted for us, because they didn't have access to that. So they put us in, you know, ballet, tap, jazz, soccer. I was able to do a lot of different things. And I think that ultimately blessed me as a teacher even, because I sing with my kids. I can do art with my kids. I mean, I do the whole gamut, because as a child, my parents exposed me to, you know, music, and exposed me to choir, and exposed me to dance. So it lended me that I could use all those things as a teacher. So I try to tell the parents that I work with that it's very important. And sometimes nowadays the parents will say, oh my goodness, you know, my child has so much homework, we can't fit it in. But my thing is, you can't afford not to. Because a lot of the energy, and a lot of these, you know, children today, they have a lot of energy, and a lot of times people, parents will think, oh, they're hyper and different things. And it's not that they're hyper, they have energy. And, you know, a karate class, maybe what they need, because they can just, you know, they can move and they can use their energy there. You know, maybe they're really good at basketball. They can use their energy there. But if the kids, and especially now, again, I love technology, but with the enhancement of technology and TV and DVDs, I mean, the kids really sometimes don't even move from the couch, you know? So I really encourage, if not more than once a week, at least once a week, looking for a program where, you know, your children, even if it's just an hour, can get out and use one of their talents or giftings, whether it's in music, ballet, tap, jazz, swimming, anything, but to give them an experience, for them to experience something and to meet new people as well.
Stephanie, you also mentioned that you were working earlier in our interview, that you were working with, you had a workshop for teen moms.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you see a correlation between teen pregnancy and their involvement with extracurricular activities?
Oh, definitely. See, of course. And that's why I have such a passion, because, you know, because a lot of times it happens because a lot of times anybody will fall into doing things that they're not supposed to do because they're bored. Okay. But when, at an early age, when you're exposed to, you might find a passion. So you take tap and you really like tap and you start to pursue tap. And then you start to say, well, I really like this. I want to do this. Maybe is there an option for me to do this at college? But if you are not given an opportunity to dream, you're not even given an opportunity to know what you're good at. You know, that's why when I did the magazine, the vision boards with the girls, they were coming out of their shell and they wanted to come up and they wanted to talk about why they put these words or why they put this picture. They were given a chance to dream. And I want to give everybody, particularly these young women, I want to give them an opportunity to dream. I want to tell them that they can do it and that you've had that, you love singing. What do you want to do with that singing? You know, what can you do? Do you want to sing? Do you want to be a music teacher? Or do you want to record music? Or do you just want to do it, you know, go to an old age home and motivate and inspire people through song? But again, if they're not given that opportunity and they don't even know that gift exists on the inside of them, I find that's why a lot of, they're looking to the media. They're looking to the media. They're not seeing positive role models. They're not seeing positive, you know, not just African, but African-American, or in my case, African-Canadian women who are young, who are dynamic, who are on track, who didn't go that way. They don't see that. You know, they see what, you know, either people who've made the mistakes and they're a lot older, or people, you know, but they don't really see anyone, because I myself am 33, so they don't really, you know, never been married, never had any children. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm saying it was because of certain things, certain steps that I took that, you know, prevented me from making the same mistake, because I could have made the same mistake as well. But I had direction. Somebody laid out a path for me, and so I continued on that path so I could go in the right direction.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
If you were able to choose a guest to speak to your teen moms at your workshop, and you had a choice of anybody in the world, who would you request to come out and talk to your teen moms?
Does it have to be a real person, or can it be?
Whoever you want, somebody from the past.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Me personally, I say God. I say God because when you, I feel like when you're introduced to God, because ultimately that's what's happened, like in my life, I feel like, yeah, I mean, there was, you know, I went to church and different things, but when God really came into my life, there were so many situations that I couldn't handle, but God intervened in my life. And I want anybody to know that God will, is there for you. He's not mystical, that he's real, and you can call on him and he will absolutely meet you at your point of need, because I am a living witness, and all of this is a manifestation of calling out to him when I didn't have anybody else to call out to. So I would like to introduce them to God. Second, I would say, I would say Oprah Winfrey. I would say Oprah Winfrey, because I just, when I see Oprah, there's hope. You can do it. You know, that's what Oprah, when I see Oprah, that's what it tells me, that you don't have to have all of your pegs lined up in a row. But if you have a dream, you could do it.
Now, have you ever watched the biography of Oprah on the Biography Channel?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, I highly recommend watching. And Oprah, she was really forced to go in a direction that she ultimately went in. But originally, her goals were never set as high as what she reached. And I think her story is phenomenal as far as, you know, people like you that were in her life that helped direct her.
Yeah.
So it's very important what you're doing, and I commend you. Because if you watch the biography of Oprah, you'll see that Oprah really didn't want to get involved with broadcasting the way she is involved with it today. And I'm not going to make this an Oprah show. But let's talk about this, Stephanie. But really, I think you should get that video and show it to your team moms and so forth.
Thank you for that.
Our last 4 minutes. Before you leave the show, if there's a teen mom or a young teen that's in trouble who thinks she may be pregnant, what would you say to that teen? Listen to you right now, and especially in regards to what you said earlier about introducing a teen to God. And I'll let you answer the question.
Yes. I would like to tell that young woman that, you know what, God, it may be a mistake to you, but that baby's not a mistake. And that God knew that baby was going to be here, and that baby has a plan and a purpose in their life, just as you do as their mom. And that what you need to do at this time is to reach out, to get on your knees and ask God to help. And I would tell you that, guess what? You're going to start to see that there are programs, like the program that I was able to do the workshop with, that there are programs that are organizations that will encourage you to keep that baby, whether you keep that baby or you put that baby up for adoption. But that baby has a plan, and God does not make mistakes, and that baby was ordained to be here. The circumstance may not have been ordained, but the baby, there's a plan and purpose, and the best thing you can do is to get what you need to do and get yourself together so that purpose and plan can manifest in that baby's life. So that can come, like I said, basically get on your knees and ask out for God, and you will be shocked. God will say, you know, it's amazing how he'll work. You may just find out all of a sudden that there's a resource center, you know, because that's what I was introduced to. I was introduced, the organization that I did the workshop for was called AAA Pregnancy Center in Livonia, Michigan. And it's a phenomenal organization where the women attend classes, and as they attend classes, they earn tokens that allows them to buy items like diapers and baby sleepers, everything that they could need as a young mother. And, you know, these programs are out there. You know, I was amazed when I found out about the program. So the programs are out there, but sometimes you need not your, you know, your regular everyday mind, but you need divine assistance. And when you ask God, he will intervene. So I just want to tell those girls that there are no mistakes, that your baby is not a mistake, you are not a mistake, that it was all ordained, and there can be a happy ending to your story.
Wonderful. You've been a great guest, and I'd like to
introduce
yourself to the audience one more time and include your contact information. I'm looking forward to meeting you on the 27th.
Oh, I know. I'm excited to meet you too, Leslie. And, you know, Leslie, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity, allowing me this opportunity to be a part of your show. And I wanted to thank you for that. And I look forward to meeting you as well. And I also would love to hear from anyone, any of your wonderful guests on the show. Feel free to contact me. My email is swalkes@yahoo.com, or you can reach me at area code 226-345-7131. Thank you.
That is our show. You've been listening to the Gist of Freedom blog show. You can learn more about the show at thegistoffreedom.com. Thank you again, Stephanie, and enjoy your
week.
You're
welcome. You too. Thank you. Good evening. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Girl, I got to preach it in there. What's wrong?
No, I was looking to check my privacy of my keys in there.
Thank you so much. I didn't know it was going to be an interview like that.
Everything went okay?
Yes,
good.
Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.